Season over for Jazz Chisholm Jr. Plus, Avi Garcia has tweaked the hammy. The Marlins have dropped a weekend series against the Mets, but there's a doubleheader on deck. We're going to get into plenty on today's Locked On Marlins.
You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings from England and welcome to Locked On Marlins. I am your host, Peter Pratt. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at @MiamiMarlins_UK. Subscribe to the pod wherever you get your pods. It's free and available everywhere, and it's a daily podcast, guys. 5 episodes a week, even into the depths of September. Still 5 episodes, and this is the Monday edition. If you are watching, hello, greetings. Welcome to my living room, of course. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Why not? Almost up to 200 subscribers on that channel. Reminder, it's a daily show there too. 5 episodes a week on YouTube. Love to see it. Guys, Monday episode. This is being recorded Sunday evening, immediately after the Marlins have just played a game. Yes, the Marlins played a baseball game today. Based on Twitter, you would not have guessed that. That is for sure. Dolphins making their game one start of the NFL season. I haven't worded that very well. The NFL week one started. Dolphins played against the Patriots and they spanked them in some ways. Patriots look poor. Dolphins look good, particularly in the first half. And Dolphins are off and running. How about those Dolphins? But what that meant was no eyeballs on the Marlins. Absolutely zero. No characters being laid down on Twitter either. No tweets about the fish other than Marlins media guys. No one cares about the Marlins. But, guys, there is tons to dig into on today's episode. And just to call it out, it's a solo pod. If you hadn't guessed already, no guest. I'm sure Sean Barrett will be here this week, no doubt, with maybe one or two other guests sprinkled in there. But, guys, let's start with the news that dropped at the start of the weekend. And the news that I think we all expected, albeit, you know, isn't the most comforting of news for us, but Jazz Chisholm Jr. has been officially ruled out by the Marlins for the remainder of the 2022 season. He was running out of time, and that is the end of time for him. Interesting part, Jazz, maybe last week, I think it was, on Twitter saying, I just want to play. So I wonder if Jazz is actually feeling okay and the Marlins have just shut him down to protect him. I don't know. They're, you know, running out of time for rehab action. I don't know. That is pure speculation from me. Nevertheless, the news is that Jazz Chisholm will not swing another bat for the Marlins. And the last time he swung a bat for the Marlins, kind of, was at the All-Star break and the All-Star game. So he was already on the IL by this point and was then taking some BP at one point at the All-Star game, which is interesting. By all accounts, the Marlins knew about this. They thought he was actually readying or nearing a return. And then Jazz Chisholm has been out the rest of the year. So from the All-Star break all the way through and all the way through the second half, no Jazz Chisholm Jr. Huge news for the Marlins. And let's just be honest, guys. Since Jazz has been out, it's been a real tailspin for this Marlins offense. Jazz is the offense. He is the catalyst. He is the spark plug, and the Marlins absolutely need him in there every day, pretty much every day. And Jazz needs to find a way to look after himself and his body, to get himself on the field for 162 to 150 games in 2023 and beyond for the Marlins. He's so critical for the fish. And sad news, he had a great first half. And rightfully was voted in. Let's not forget about this. Jazz Chisholm was voted in by the public, not just by, you know, hey, the Marlins have to have someone. Jazz was voted in as an offensive player, as the starter at second base for the NL All-Star team. So Jazz Chisholm has absolutely captured not just Marlins fans' hearts, but everyone else's hearts, I think, across baseball. He's an icon now. He's right up there. He's right up there in the modern day players. Need him back. Need him back badly. Avi Garcia was back as we mentioned, Avi was he was on an extended rehab start, but then Avi finally back and then tweaks his hammy again. He missed today's game, this is Monday's episode. He missed yesterday's game after exiting on the Saturday. And so does that mean that's going to be, I mean, if that is the, you know, an IL and a reoccurrence of the hamstring, then that's going to be the end of the year for Avisel Garcia as well. I felt like some of the media guys reporting yesterday were saying that it was already a scheduled day off anyway for Avisel. So I'm interested to see, particularly with the doubleheader coming up, is, you know, where's this going to trend to? But we've seen it with Wendell already this year. Hamstring, came back, re-aggravated, another stint. I'm not sure what's going on with these Marlins medical staff and the way it goes. Let's think back, guys. Can you recall all the way back at the start of the year? Jesus Luzardo. Hey, he's got some sort of forearm strain. We're expecting him maybe to just to miss one go in the rotation. That's all that's expected. Next thing is Luzardo. He's out for 2 months. 2 months. So they, you know, and so let's just talk about this a second. Are the Marlins purposefully underplaying these injuries, or are they misdiagnosing them? Do they not know, or do they underplay them and push it out into public that, hey, it's going to be okay for Luzardo? I actually don't know the answer, but nevertheless, they got that one wrong. Jess Chisholm, we've already mentioned it. He's taken BP at the All-Star game. Lo and behold, he doesn't play another game for the Marlins. Why is he taking BP if the injury is that severe? Did he re-aggravate something? Did the Marlins miss something? Did he not know? What's going on? Because it seems wild that was Jazz Chisholm's last swing. And as I've already mentioned, Joey Wendell, hamstring, back too early, hamstring again, more time. Avisel, hamstring, extended rehab start, and then back hamstring again. You know, in 2021, they cleared the house of all the medical staff because 2021 was an absolute shambles. Couldn't keep anyone healthy. And lo and behold, 2022, in many ways, it's not been much better, which is wild to say. Interested to see what happens with Avi Garcia. It may be that this is the end of his season as well. So we get the confirmation maybe that Avi's done, Jazz is done. Not sure where things are at with Soler, but aside from those guys, pretty much the core is back now. And guys, good news, the core in the main is back and hitting. Cooper Loop's been on a right tear this weekend, and it has been sensational to see Coop finally. Again, it all circles back to this All-Star thing. This is linked to Jazz, but also to Coop. As soon as Coop was announced as an All-Star, completely derailed. Maybe it's the fact that there's, you know, you get that pressure. You get the mental pressure that starts to come to you then of, okay, I'm now an All-Star. It's what I've been trying to do and to get to. But now I'm actually an All-Star. How do I continue to produce on the field? How do I take my game to the next level? Next thing is, my team needs me. Team is absolutely desperate for me to be the man, the guy. And let's be honest, it went sideways real quick. And Coop maybe was just trying to take on too much responsibility, got in his own head. Feels like he's refreshed, he's cleansed, he's cleared the decks. Cooper Loop, absolutely back. We're going to dig into him in more detail later this week, I sense, with Sean Barrett, because there is no greater Garrett Cooper stan than Sean Barrett. So it's right that we don't dwell too long on that. Brian Anderson, also one of the old core. Two home runs for BA yesterday. Two home runs and the second, an upper with a bopo from BA. The first one was an absolute blast to center field as well. BA, this year actually, I must, like, in 2021, BA really struggled. He struggled. It felt like it was frustration that led to more frustration that led to more frustration. Lucky Brian Anderson doesn't have a Twitter account, because if he did, he'd be absolutely blown up. But he's not on there. He doesn't come onto Twitter. BA in 2022, I would say, has been less frustration. Yes, the injuries no doubt would have been frustrating for him, but Brian Anderson, when he's been on the field, in my opinion, has been fine, has been good. Post-game comments yesterday from Don Mattingly, very interesting, talking about Brian Anderson, the fact that Yeah, okay, injuries have derailed his year. He came into the year hitting well, looked in a good spot, got hurt, but he did allude to this. The organization and the people around will have a decision to make on Brian Anderson, which I think is very interesting. He has 1 year of arbitration remaining, so 1 year of control. What Donnie's saying there to me is, I think, what we've all been speculating, that the amount of money that has to go perhaps to Brian Anderson is, you know, makes the Marlins make a decision on him to perhaps not non-tender him, perhaps to extend him. Maybe you try and enter into a multi-year deal with BA with some team options. No more player options, please, as we've seen from Jorge Soler. And that deal, I've already said it a few weeks back. If you could do a 1 year with a team option in 24, I'm for that with BA. If he's healthy and his mind is right, BA is fine. He's not a linchpin. He's not going to be the MVP. He's not someone you can lean on at all times. But he's a slightly above average major league player. I think that's what we have to realize with BA. He's elite at third base when he's playing there, for sure. And there were some struggles earlier this year. But for me, $6 million for a slightly above average guy who's 29, going into his age 30, going into his, you know, maybe free agency year, I think you've got to keep BA around, haven't you? What's the alternative? What are you going to do? You're going to roll in with Charles LeBlanc and John Birdie and Joey Wendell and whatever at third base and see what you can do? I'm not sure. I still like to see BA stick around. Like, when he's on, he's on. And I think if the Marlins can get him on, get his head right, I think BA's a good player and someone the Marlins should stick around with. Okay, guys, let's get the first ad rolled and we'll continue on. There's a few other storylines on this Monday episode we need to get into. But as you gear up for fall, try and say that. As you gear up for fall, there you go, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. So you can add your job and the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile. Spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one. Yes, number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs, they can help you find candidates you want to talk to faster. And did you know every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That is linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, so where are we going now? BA, he's back and hitting. Multi-home run game. First multi-home run game since, I believe, 2020? I think I saw. Remember that 2020 year? BA, big part of it too. Anyway, wait and see what happens with BA in the offseason. Like I said, Don Mattingly's comments post-game were very interesting. Cooper is back and hitting. Joey Wendell also seems like he's turned a corner. Back and hitting. Who isn't hitting? Boy, oh boy. Bottom of the lineup. But Lewin Diaz, guys. Lewin Diaz. I have been a big, big fan of Lewin Diaz. I absolutely loved what I saw in 2021. And let's be honest, I've been loving what I've seen in 2022 at the AAA level. Let's just be honest now. It's not happening for Lewin. There's no options remaining. As we sit here right now on the 12th of September, I'm looking at Lewin Diaz and thinking there is no way that the Marlins can, there's no way the Marlins can carry Lewin Diaz on the roster right now in 23. And he has to be on the 26th man. Unless, of course, they decide to DFA him or clear waivers perhaps and could be outrighted to the AAA. For me, this whole Lewin Diaz situation, it's just been so unproductive. And he's getting the at-bats. Okay, the Marlins are in a tough stretch where they're playing some good teams. Like, it's been a real tough schedule. So he's going up against the best. But that's no excuse. That's no excuse for Lewin Diaz. If the Marlins are serious, they got to beat the best. They got to play the best. They play in a tough division. Lewin Diaz is really struggling, has really, really struggled. And so, can you find a spot for Lewin Diaz? I can't. The Marlins need to upgrade this offense. And I don't think by keeping Lewin Diaz around, the offense is going to be upgraded in 23. I don't. Maybe he'll get back and, you know, we'll find his way. But the Marlins don't have time. They don't have time to sit around and hope and wonder. So very intrigued to see what happens with Lewin Diaz in this offseason. For me, obvious trade candidate. Obvious trade candidate to a team that's maybe in rebuild mode. The Marlins aren't in rebuild mode. They shouldn't be in rebuild mode anyway. Because, you know, Sandy's there. Pablito, the other rotation guys. Rotation's there. They need to find an offense that's serviceable. Just middle of the road will probably get them right in contention. Lewin Diaz, though, I fear his time is perhaps running out. Jesus Sanchez, we've already talked about many times, his time has probably already run out here with the Marlins organization. Gerard Encarnacion, also trending in the wrong direction now. I think his time is running out. So there's a few guys here already on the 40-man that I think are definitely trade candidates, DFA candidates, however you want to look at it. They're candidates for upgrades. And really, you can't complain. As a fan and as a player, you know, if you're putting down Lewin Diaz numbers, you can't complain if you're replaced. You can't. So perhaps it's time to go and find a new home, different organization, see what you can do. Still believe in him. I mean, as we always said, the glove's amazing. Glove's amazing, but the stick doesn't play. It hasn't played. So maybe time to see where it goes. Let's talk about this, for the Mets series. Boy, oh boy. Let's talk about Pablito and Lozado. Both of them really struggling two games back-to-back, and it is not what the Marlins needed. Not optimal before today with a doubleheader going. So 18 innings to cover today. Trevor Rogers going in game one. Braxton Garrett will be coming and starting for game two. Great to see Brax back in the mix. I don't think he's got a huge leash in terms of pitch count. Maybe, let's say, 80, you know, 75, 80 for Brax. Let's see how we can go. But, boy, oh, boy, not optimal for the Marlins. Two games in a row with the starters getting chased out of there early. Both of them followed kind of similar paths, actually, in terms of the outings where struggled early, thought, can they get back in their groove? No, they can't. They're out of there. And, you know, the Mets just kind of run away with those games. But like I said, not optimal. Effectively, you know, a lot of innings covered by the bullpen in those two games. Plus now you've got 18 innings to cover today. Expecting some roster moves. I think some bullpen arms are going to be shuffled up and down. Interested to see where they go with that. Clearly, Nardi gave up the salami on Saturday. You know, it has not been good for him at the major league level. Been great at AAA. Some people were high on him. I'd never really seen him pitch before, so I can't testify. Nevertheless, it has not been good. There may also be Nardi plus someone else. Maybe a few arms need to shuffle up and down just so they've got some fresh arms there for these two games. So really intrigued to see. As we know, Braxy's definitely up. You know, we'll see what Brax can do. Been really impressed with Brax this year. What he was able to do, come in and take himself to, in my opinion, a MLB-wide, you know, fourth, fifth starter. Like, you look at Braxton Garrett and think, yeah, for sure, there's something there. No doubt. So, the Marlins, they drop it. Sandy Alcantara, though, went on, what day did Sandy go? Thursday? Boy, I'm losing track of days. But Sandy, let's go back to the Sandy start. And what I wanted to specifically talk about was the bloody blunder in center field. The Marlins struggled to address center field all year. Bloody's out there. Sandy Alcantara start and bloody, literally the most routine of routine fly balls into center field, just drops it out of his glove. Absolutely shocking fielding. And two runs are scored then. Neither of them earned for Sandy. But, you know, looking at Sandy and his Cy Young race, you know, it's still alive. He still is the clear favorite. You know, another start coming this week against the Phils. So that game was actually against the Phils. And Sandy will be going again against the Phils. As we've seen with Pablo Lopez, he's really struggled against the Mets. The Mets have fully blown him up. Last year it was the Bravos. The Bravos blew up Pablito multiple times. This year he struggled with the Mets. Sandy, I think he has had his struggles against the Phils, so I'm very intrigued. He's obviously had his struggles against the Dodgers, but, you know, that's on the road, and who doesn't? But I think it's still there for Sandy. But nevertheless, you got to just keep putting the pedal down. There are other guys performing well. I saw Max Fried, although he took the L, you know, six innings, two earned. Urias is still there hanging around. But let's talk about Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen breaking the franchise scoreless inning streak for the Diamondbacks. You know, a year ago, at the start of this year anyway, we'd have looked at the Gallen and Jazz trade and said, that was an absolute slam dunk for the Marlins. They've won that trade. And here we are now. Jazz missed pretty much most of the year. Yes, an all-star. But Zach Gallen coming through too. In the end, I always think it will be a true win-win where both clubs got, you know, address needs by using studs. They swap studs, and the Marlins need to do more of it. It shows the blueprint. Send away these pitching studs and get some, you know, near ready or pretty much ready major league hitting and see what you can do with them. Toolsy guys, love to see it. And listen, big news dropped as well Friday. The game is going to be changed in 23. New rules coming into play. I'm going to dig into more of that later this week with some of the guests and really get their takes on it. But for me, as a fan, what are the key things? The pitch clock. Pitch clock coming in. What has it done in the minor leagues? It's shortened games. It shrunk them by, what, 25 minutes? Yes, sir. Sign me up for that. Baseball in general. Yes. Your traditionalists will say, hey, it's fine as it is. It's all good. And there's plenty of them listening, guys. And everyone has their own opinion on this. But we have to acknowledge that the modern day world is very different. And the way people consume content, sports, everything is so different now. And if there's nothing entertaining happening, there's too many options to go and look or engage with something else. So I think baseball, they're just thinking about pace of play. Let's try and speed things up a little bit. Just get more action going. More pitches, more frequently, so there's more eyeballs and you're not distracted with someone else. To me, it makes a ton of sense. I was intrigued to see all of the players on the panel voted against this. It was the players union effectively. All of them was a no vote on this one. They didn't want to see the pitch clock, and they also didn't want to see the shifts being banned either. They were happy with the bases being slightly enlarged, but the shift is banned effectively. Two men either side of second base, feet on the dirt. It's going to basically take away those third base. Stood out basically in right field or left, right field. That's what it's going to take out of play, which is exactly where they're positioned for JJ Blade and Lewin Diaz. So listen, the shift, in my opinion, it's gone too far where you've got these line, you know, these defensive situations here where it's almost impossible to get a ball through. And what's the hitter supposed to do? And everyone says, hey, we just go the opposite way. The way pitching is, the movement these days, it's nigh on impossible to do that. And listen, it's just not that fun watching just ground outs to the shift. It just isn't fun. Again, going back to that point earlier, we watch baseball as a sport and people do and fans tune in to be entertained. And a roller, a grounder, well, not even a grounder. It's like sometimes they're laced, obviously, straight into the shift, takes away a hit, you know, and everything that follows off that. There's no runners on bases, there's no stolen base attempts, there's no runs, low scoring, da-da-da-da-da. It just kind of gets a bit boring, to be honest with you. And baseball needs, you know, an injection of life, particularly when you've got 162 games in a season, and of which, listen, from a Marlins perspective, we're in the final month, in the final 2 months. Most people aren't even watching anymore. And that says to me, the product's not entertaining. The Marlins offense has been like historically bad. Would the shift help? Yeah, of course it would help a little bit. But overall, as a rule, I'm pro these rules. I like these little tweaks. It's gone too far. The shift's gone too far. And it's time to kind of rebalance things a little bit more towards the hitting side, which is essential. Like no one enjoys watching just ground out after ground out in a 2-1 victory. And that's the end of it. So I think it's going to inject a little bit more offense into the game at a faster pace. Pace of play up, more offense, more hits, more base running, whatever you want to do. I'm looking forward to it. I think 2023, I think we're going to all really sit back and go, oh, yeah, why didn't we always do this? why weren't these rules changed long time ago? Nevertheless, guys, Breezy Pod, post-game, the Marlins, they avoided the sweeps. That was good. They weren't swept after they were absolutely hammered by the Braves, but and the Phils as well. Like, the Marlins are really, really struggling here. But these teams are just miles better. Like, the Mets fully outclassed the Marlins here. Fully outclassed them. And they're fully in it. They're going to win over 100 games, the Mets, this year. And, we didn't even face DeGrom in this series either. So, anyway, that is going to wrap it. It's a doubleheader today, including a UK friendly. However, I won't be able to get any eyeballs on it because I am at a golf day. So my first round of golf, the heavens are about to open. It's going to be raining all day. So look forward to that. But wish me luck. My putting is poor. Driving is wonky. Iron play is clunky as well. Nevertheless, I'll be back on Tuesday with Locked On Marlins, of course. And I'll get Sean Barrett in here as well. In the meantime, guys, let's get this doubleheader rolling. I'm back on Tuesday.